Golden Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. The battle over the future of the Postal Service, which was a focus of American political life last year, is still on. Corrupt and incompetent Postmaster General Louis DeJoy announced in March, with the backing of the present Postal Board of Governors headed by Chair Ron Blum, a 10-year plan to remake the post office from a constitutionally mandated public service into a corporate entity.
The DeJoy-Blum plan openly promises slower delivery times for much of the mail, steadily increasing postal rates, and reduced access to post offices. What a combo. But Jonathan Smith, president of the New York Metro Postal Workers Union, is on the job to save our postal service.
It will take a labor community alliance following the lead of Jonathan Smith, president of the Metro Postal Workers Union, to save our public postal service. Jonathan, I recently heard you speaking. I think it was actually a quote from Maya Angelou. You said, when someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. Why don't we begin that way? And I assume you were talking about the Postmaster General Louis DeJoy.
Well, you're exactly right. I was talking about Postmaster General Louis DeJoy, but I was also talking about Ron A. Blum, who's currently the chairperson of the Board of Governors. The reason that I was talking about them, when DeJoy came into office on June 15th, 2020, he immediately cut the overtime. He changed the structure of how we deliver the mail. He gave an order to pull out mail processing machines. But what was strange is when he went to his congressional hearing, they asked him, they said, well, what studies did you do? What research did you do? Who did you talk to? And he said, nobody. Now, what kind of guy comes into an organization that's this vast, that represents every citizen of this country, does no studies and say, oh, it's going to work? Now he's talking about taking the mail off of the planes and putting every piece of mail on the trucks. Well, how would you not, being that you come from XPO Logistics, which is a trucking firm, and it's a way for him to make money and to get his friends. Now, there's still questions about whether he divested. But then when you move to Ron Blum, is supposed to be the chairperson of the Board of Governors, and he's allegedly a Democrat. I like to say a wolf in sheep's clothing, because he's definitely not a Democrat. And he goes in there and he signs on to this 10-year plan. They put forth this 10-year plan, but the strange thing in my research about Ron A. Blum, Ron A. Blum used to work for the Carriers Union. When he worked for the Carriers Union, I went back and I looked at some of the things that he said, and he was talking about a shared sacrifice that could not be on the back of the stakeholders. So now you put forth a 10-year plan, and your 10-year plan says we're going to close and consolidate processing centers. We're going to go to the PRC because we need to, and we're going to go to legislation because we need to change the delivery standards. Now everybody knows how bad the mail has been getting. Now he wants to make it even worse. This is the guy that's supposed to be on the Postal Board of Governors. But what really struck my interest is when Ron A. Blum did not tell the truth in front of the congressional hearing, because David Williams went in front of them, the guy that resigned in protest when they made Louis DeJoy the Postmaster General. He said DeJoy was not on the list when they got the original list of 200. He was not on the list when they wiggled it down to about 53. He was not on the list when they wiggled it down to 13. He only got on the list to be considered for Postmaster General is when Steve Mnuchin, the former Secretary of Treasury under Trump, came in there and told them that he was going to be the Postmaster General. Now, Ron Blum, the other thing that's strange, have you ever seen something in Washington where you have a majority of Republicans or a majority of Democrats and they vote the other party representative as the chair of the committee? Well, that's exactly what they did. It was only two alleged Democrats on the Board of Governors, and the rest of them was Republican. I believe it was four of them. And they voted to make the chair Democrat. Don't that sound a little fishy? So I'm saying they both have to go. When they show you who they are, believe them the first time. I don't need no more evidence. I just watch what they do. And everything that they have been doing is not in the best interest of the Postal Service, but it's mostly not in the best interest of this country and the citizens of this country. Because if you say that we cannot fix the problems of the post office on the back of the stakeholders, then why are you going to ask for rate increases and everything else? Isn't that on the back of the stakeholders? It sounds like you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. And he's in his holdover year, Ron A. Bloom. All they have to do is make an appointment, get him confirmed, and he's automatically gone. But the carriers are going forth, and they are promoting that Ron A. Bloom get another seven-year term. I'm saying it's a seven-year term that we cannot afford. Louis DeJoy and Ron A. Bloom, they must go.
Does President Biden have any say in this or any clout relevant to the problem of DeJoy, which has been pretty consistent, and also the board that is running the post office, which threatens the service itself to the consumer and certainly threatens the jobs of the worker?
Biden does not have any direct say on who's the postmaster mm-hmm. general or not. They have to get confirmed by the Senate, and but only the Board of Governors could get rid of the postmaster general. I think what Biden had, the day that Louis DeJoy testified in front of the Congressional Ways and Means Committee, that when he testified that day, Biden put forth three nominations for the Board of Governors. But what the problem is, even if all of them are confirmed, with Ron A. Bloom and the other alleged Democrat on the Board of Governors voting unanimously to make DeJoy the Postmaster General in the first place and supporting the 10-year plan, they still don't have enough votes to get him removed from the Board of Governors. So the only way that you could do it, you have to make that last nomination to replace Ron A. Bloom so you can have the numbers to replace. If that was his ultimate goal, which I believe that it was, that he felt as though by his actions that Louis DeJoy, Postmaster General, had to go, but it will not work because if you look at everything that they have done, they have been in full support of this Postmaster General, even though he has done nothing but delay the mail. And one of the things I like to say, it bothers me about these politicians, because if this was going on right now, what I'm talking about, before the November elections, they would be a lot more aggressive about getting rid of Louis DeJoy. But now that the election is over, they must not realize that the midterms are coming up, and the elections, you can see what's going on all over this country about voter suppression, and vote by mail is something that's here to stay. So where is the aggression? But my thing is, while they're concerned about ballots, I'm concerned about that senior citizen needing their medicine that comes through the mail. I'm concerned about that soldier overseas that needs to hear from his family member to get some encouragement to continue the mission overseas. I'm concerned about that small business owners that can't compete with these large conglomerates that needs the U.S. mail so they can send their products out at an affordable rate. Where is the concern for America and not for elections?
Jonathan Smith, if you were the Postmaster General, what would be the first three things that you would do?
The first thing that I would do is I would put a study together. We're not saying that there is no problems. We know that letter mail is declining and package mail is going to see the feasibility of what you want to do. Then I will take a look at how we are distributing the mail and getting the mail out. But at that point, I would want to go into a partnership with the unions, put everything on the table, put it in front of them, and say, change has got to be made. What can we work on together? Because there's always a gray area. I know from my experience of negotiating, you won't get everything that you want, but there's always a gray area where you could come to some sort of agreement. Then we can jointly go to our legislators and ask them for the needed changes that's made. And with in mind the best interest of the consumer, the citizens, not the best interest of the Postal Service, because it is a service. It was not developed from the time that it was put in the Constitution. It was not developed to be run as a business. It was developed to be run as a service. And what they're talking about is cutting this and cutting that. What about adding postal banking, adding more services that we could be more of an asset to the communities that we serve because we have a post office in just about every zip code. So we can sell fishing license. We can do more with ATM machines. There is a lot of things that we can do to bring revenue into the Postal Service, but they don't seem to be considering how we could bring revenue and how we could be more of an asset to the communities we serve. The only thing they want to look at is the problem. It kind of reminds me, you ever got into a car accident and somebody ran a red light and they hit you, right? So when they hit you, your car is a mess and you're very upset because they did something stupid. Now, at some point, you have to stop cussing them out because the problem, focusing on the problem, is not going to get your car fixed. At some point, you got to call the police to get a police report. At some point, you got to call your insurance company so to tell them what happened with your car and start the process to getting fixed. You see, at some point, I don't care how bad the situation is, you always have to start working towards the solution. What they want to do, from the politicians to DeJoy to Ron Blum, what they want to do is they want to play the blame game. They want to blame the employees. But one thing that I know, throughout time, they've been running the organization. So if the organization is running bad, why is it the workers? It's not the workers. It's your decisions. The decisions that you have made, the Postal Service suffers from one thing and one thing only, bad management, starting with Louis DeJoy.
And as a follow-up to that, what about the pre-funding mandate for retirees' health benefits? What is that, and what should be done about that?
Well, the pre-funding mandate, they just had a hearing on that, and it's, I believe it's going to be bipartisan to pass through the House to get rid of the PAEA, the Postal Accountability and Enhancement Act. Now, when they, and for, to his credit, Louis DeJoy supports getting rid of that because it's an unfair burden on the Postal Service that no other business in this country has to have to pay benefits for health care and pension 75 years into the future. They're paying benefits for people that's not even born yet. So that would be a great relief. They also need to look at it. Before that unfair burden was put on the Postal Service was doing very well. A majority of the post office debt comes from that. Now, they put that in the bill along with Medicaid integration. I'm still studying the Medicaid integration because I'm not sure how I feel about that, where they're going to force people into Medicare Part A and Part B once they retire from the Postal Service. My issue with that is taking away choice. I'm always going to support choice. And I have a problem when you put any legislation forward that takes away choice. Now, if you give them an option, that's fine. But if you're saying you absolutely have to do that, I really got to look a little deeper into that, because even them talking about the Medicaid integration, it's about saving money for this and we're going to save money for that. Yeah, okay, I understand you're going to save money, but what about the impact? You're not talking about the impact. How is that going to affect the people, especially those that's already retired and those soon to retire? Don't all of a sudden drop an unfair burden on them that they were not prepared for, because retirement is about preparation. When you get to the age of retirement, a lot of people say, well, I'm 65, I'm going to retire. Well, if you're 65 and you don't have no money, where you going? If you're 65 and you don't have no means, where you going? It's about preparation. And you have people 25, 30 years have been preparing for an opportunity to go and live their golden years, and they actually be golden. I'm scared that they're going to drop some sort of legislation that prevents those years from being golden, not for no fault of the worker, but because someone got a whim and decided to make a change without giving us an opportunity to prepare for it.
They're talking about the failure. They're talking about the bankruptcy, essentially, of the post office. So why don't you lay out some of those issues for us? What are the complaints? What are the problems that may drive it further down? And then we can continue to pick up on what you think are some of the solutions, some of which you enumerated already.
We know that letter mail is drastically declining due to email, the boom of emails, and other forms of communication. We understand that. But e-commerce is going through the roof. But the post office failure is staffing. That's they're not properly staffed. A lot of times people come into the post office and they see a line going outside the door and they think that there's three or four clerks sitting in the back that's on lunch break. No, that's the only clerks in the whole station. I get calls each and every day about clerks so dedicated to the job that they're shortening up their lunch breaks or working through their lunch breaks because they take so much pride in serving the American people. So they're looking at this as an economic issue. I'm still waiting for them to lay it out clearly, because what the biggest failure was the PAEA. When they put that unfair burden where we had to pay $75 billion within 10 years for people that are not even born yet, that's a failure. That's a failure in thinking. That's a failure in compassion. That's a failure in leadership. So that's not the people that work at the post office failure. That's the people that work outside the post office failure. You have bad management that don't know how to lead. A lot of the issues that I deal with is communication on the workroom floor. People think they're a boss because they're taking people and they have what we call 204Bs. They are acting supervisors. But what they are is they are causing a hostile work environment because they're not teaching them how to be leaders, how to run an operation. There's some sort of compassion you got to have even when you're the boss. But what they want to do is they want to run it with an iron fist. Do what I say when I say do it and how I say do it. Even though the workers that have to do the work, then workers that have been doing the work for 20 and 30 years, who could know better how to move the mail than them? Half the time, you don't even need a supervisor. What you need a supervisor to do is to get out of the way, and we're having problems because they stay in the way.
What I would also like to just refresh, because nobody does it better than you, it's an incredible service. And for those who don't know its background and don't understand what's at stake here in terms of the workers and who the workers are, why don't you give us that background? It's really important and essential to understanding why the post office must not be contracted out, must not be privatized.
Well, the post office is the number one employer of veterans and minorities. But what was important about the Postal Service and what drew me to the Postal Service is its rich history. Because the Postal Service back in the 70s, in 70, when a lot of the soldiers was off fighting in Vietnam, this is when there was a great influx of women into the work stream because it was only women to do the work. So women became an instrumental part, but it also shows the strength of the middle class. Because the Postal Service is a pure representative of a middle class. Everybody's not going to go to college, but they still need jobs. Tell me what jobs are out here that you need minimal education to get these jobs to be able to put food on your table. This is what the post office represents. When you come into the post office looks like America should look like. What you do have is you have one mission. To serve the American people. We deliver to 160 million addresses every single day. In the middle of the pandemic, people don't know the sacrifice that the postal workers made, where we lost 150 postal workers to the COVID virus, to death, yet we still kept going in there every day because we were considered essential workers. But even though we were considered essential workers, not one word from our congressional leadership, thank you, but no hazard pay. No additional relief for what the postal workers went through, but we still continue our mission because we care about what we do. We care about keeping America together. When the supplies and the respirators was running low, it was the Postal Service that was delivering this equipment to the hospitals. It was these people that got out there on the street when nobody else was allowed out there on the street to deliver, even if it was just a message from across the country to grandma saying, Grandma, are you okay? Grandma, you love. That, to me, that is important mail. That's important mail for somebody sitting in a house all alone and not getting any communication from anybody. Also, the Postal Service is the most secure way to get information to another person. You're looking all around and you're saying, this person is hacking this and they're hacking that and they're hacking all this information. I don't see nobody hacking a envelope. I don't see anybody hacking a letter. It's a secure way to get your information from one person to another person. This is a treasure that we cannot let get away. And you're getting all this for 55 cents. So it would be a travesty to let them, because what they're doing now under the Joyce plan, it's just a quasi-privatization. He wants to separate the logistics part because he wants to contract out that work. And what he wants, and that's going to do nothing but boost up the prices and boost up the burden on the American people. At a time like this, what we should be looking to do is programs of relief. Not what he's doing right now, causing more and more chaos. The postal workers are already under enough stress. All we're asking the American people to do is pick up the phone, call your congressional leadership, call your senators, tell them to support the Postal Service, because it is not an accident that for the last 10 years, we have been the most trusted government agency out there. Why? Because we deliver.
Do you think the plan of DeJoy and the Postal Board of Governors is to actually take away the trust of the public to the post office and lead the way toward privatization of certain functions?
That's exactly what they're doing. This, what the delay of the mail, you hear more and more people talking about how long it is, how long it takes them to get an envelope. In order for anything to work that they want to work, they have to separate the Postal Service from the American people. You know, so what's happening is they're trying to erode the trust. I mean, how many times have you said a situation where you get up in the morning and you said, I got to go to the DMV, and you're, oh, my God, I don't want to go to the DMV. That's the same image that they want them to have of the Postal Service, because when you walk in the Postal Service and you have 8 windows and only 2 of them are working, that's frustration. That's frustration. And I'm frustrated as they are, because this should be a more, in the Constitution, it says not only the Postal Service is supposed to deliver, it's supposed to deliver efficiently, promptly, and on time. You know, that's why we have delivery standards. And what he's taking away is the efficiency and the on time. And we're saying no as workers. We took a lot of pride in getting out those ballots in November. It was a pride. It was a personal mission for us, because we were not going to let the Postal Service fail. We believed that we held democracy together. We didn't care whether you voted Democrat. We didn't care whether you voted Republican. Well, we cared that your vote counted. That was the Postal Service. That's what we was about. We was about delivering your opportunity to let your vote and your voice be heard. So we went out of our way. Whatever it took, we wanted to make sure that we got those ballots out and we got people's voices heard and counted. That's what the Postal Service represents. It represents you coming in there and I see mail piling up in front of your front door. I know something is going on. I know something is wrong. We call the police. You see stories after stories after stories where postal workers are heroes. And when anthrax went through the mail, the postal workers kept working even with the fear of anthrax, because we wanted to keep the mission. When bombs were going through the mail and we found bombs, that was the postal workers, because of our skill and our intelligence, recognizing something didn't look right in that basket and we found bombs in the mail. So when are we going to really be heroes if we are, when we was heroes through anthrax, when we was heroes through Sandy, all the floods and stuff like that, the mail still got through. It's a lot of things that stopped, but you could go after calamity after calamity after calamity, and the mail always got through. So don't call us a hero when something is going on. Treat us like a hero 360 days of the year, because we are. We deliver. We never fall down on the mission.
One of the things that most people don't understand yet and could be extremely important is the issue of postal banking. Can you explain what that is and what your position is on that, Jonathan Smith?
Postal banking is a way to stop these predatory check cash and pay places and loan them from robbing people, charging them outrageous fees to get their own money, either to cash their check or giving them payday loans. We wanted to institute postal banking, something that was in the post office. I believe it was from 1960 to 1964. Don't quote me on the exact date. We had the postal banking. Can't get any legislative support there. Why? Because some of their biggest donors is these big banks, and they don't want the competition of the Postal Service. It also, a lot of people are afraid to take out bank accounts with everything that was going on with the undocumented and all that stuff. They don't trust it. And you have regular citizens that just don't trust the bank. But everybody trusts their teller at the Postal Service. The statistics are clear about how they feel about the workers of the Postal Service. So we say, let us handle your money. We could give you small loans. We could do the check cashing thing that is being done now. And it shouldn't cost you very little to nothing to have these services done. And this is what I was talking about earlier, turning the Postal Service into what it was intended to be, a service to the community. The Bronx is a perfect situation where we call the bank desert. We have quite a few zip codes in the Bronx that don't have any bank at all, because banks are only going to where they think there's money at. But they're not going to these places where there's a large amount of poverty and low-income areas. We're saying all areas should be served. We said that we want the Postal Service to uphold the creed of the Constitution. It should be by the people and for the people. And this is another service that could be for the people that the Postal Service can easily provide.
As we conclude, just for the moment, this discussion with you, Jonathan, is there anything that you think is essential that we have not yet put on the agenda for our discussion to let people know about your work, saving the Postal Service, and any part of that?
I'll leave it like this because Martin Luther King was one of my heroes, and Martin Luther King said, the crime is not always the person committing the crime. It's the one that watches the crime being committed and does nothing. We're saying now is not a time to do nothing. We're saying pick up your phone and call your congressional leadership, call your senators, call your local community because they're doing a lot of closing and consolidation of these stations. In fact, if you look in the 10-year plan, they're talking about closing or consolidating 18 processing centers by November. Why would you do that around Thanksgiving? Why would you do that around Christmas? Because they don't care. Let's not be silent at this time. This is the time to speak up, and we're going to have to get out in the streets and make it, like I said, by the people, for the people, and I will keep fighting. The U.S. mail will never be for sale as long as I'm here.
Love it. Thank you so much, Jonathan Smith. And Jonathan Smith, I can't thank you enough for the work that you do on behalf of the working class. The struggle does continue, but forward ever and backwards never.
What can you do? The U.S. House of Representatives bipartisan reform proposal for the U.S. Postal Service, H.R. 3076, and the Senate proposal, S-1720, would eliminate the mail agency's costly and controversial retiree health care funding requirement. The Senate proposal also abolishes the pre-funding mandate and would also mandate six-day postal delivery. And both chambers are currently debating President Biden's three nominees to fill vacancies in the Postal Board of Governors, which has the power to fire Postmaster Louis DeJoy. Please call your congressperson and senator to support these measures. Call 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121 to support your postal service and postal workers.
This has been Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. Stay strong, stay well, and educate, agitate, and organize for the empowerment of we the people, for another world is possible.